you all for coming this morning. And we're going to read, as has been mentioned, together from the book of Acts. And we'll read from chapter 4. If you have a Bible, you can turn to it. Otherwise, you can follow as I read. Before we read, let me just ask you a question to think about as we read the scriptures together and as we study the passage before us. Does it really matter what you believe as long as you are sincere about it? Does it matter what your faith is in as long as your faith is sincere? And that's the question I would like us to have in the back of our mind as we read this passage before us today. So Acts chapter 4, verse 1, and we'll read to verse 22. And as they were speaking to the people, this is referring to Peter and John, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Now this passage before us today continues the narrative that started in chapter 3 when a crippled man, a lame beggar, was remarkably and miraculously healed. by Peter and John, two of the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus. And he was miraculously healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And in chapter 3 we read that the people were astounded and the man himself was over the moon. And as we learned, the miracle was instantaneous, it was complete, and it was undeniable. Quite different as such from many so-called miracles that we hear about today. And Peter used this occasion to preach the gospel. There was an astounded, a crowd were gathered and they were astonished at what had happened. And Peter used the opportunity, just as he had done on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2, when another miracle had happened and Peter stood up and he had preached the Lord Jesus. He did exactly the same in the temple courts after this man had been healed. And he preached Christ to the people, and the Jews were gathered there. This was still and the beginning of the book of Acts that we've started on, and we're in chapter 4 now. It begins in Jerusalem, and then the message of the gospel spreads wider and wider. Excuse me. But we are still in Jerusalem, and Peter is still speaking to Jewish people, and as he speaks to them, he points a finger at them, really, and he says, "You crucified the Lord Jesus. You murdered him just a few weeks earlier. The Lord Jesus had been crucified." And Peter tells them that you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. And now Peter invited them to repent from their sins and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, that their sins might be blotted out. And then we come into chapter 4 and we read the response to the preaching of Peter. And what we notice in this chapter, and in the previous chapter as well, that it is all about the name of Jesus. The name. The lame man was healed in the name of Jesus. And resurrection was preached in the name of Jesus. And there were some who were quite upset. And so this whole the whole reading that we've done, we've got before us, is about two men, two fishermen from Galilee, up in the north, untrained, unskilled, uneducated, two very ordinary men standing in front of 71 men of high standing, of great reputation, of great knowledge, and they are defending what they have done. And that's what this whole passage is all about. Two fishermen in a religious court proceeding being challenged about what they had done in the name of Jesus. But, so as we come into this chapter, we do notice that there are two different responses to the preaching of the gospel. In verse 4 of chapter 4, we read that many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So there were those who believed. And that's verse 4. The rest of the chapter is all about the ones who did not believe, and who, it says, were greatly frustrated, greatly annoyed at what Peter had said. But I just want to focus just for a little minute first about the ones who believe. And it's interesting to note that they believed not the miracle, but they believed the word. Notice that. Many of those who had heard the word believed. And that reminds us this morning that in the book of Acts, and also in the gospel records about the Lord Jesus, we read of many miracles. But the miracles themselves were never the focus. It wasn't the miracles that were emphasized by the Lord Jesus or by the apostles. And there were many people who saw the miracles, who maybe even experienced the miracles for themselves, like the 5,000 who were fed by the Lord Jesus with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, who did not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. They saw the miracle, but they didn't believe in the message and they didn't repent. But here we have people, and they believed the word that was preached, and they were saved. They were saved. And we see here that the church is growing in the book of Acts. If we go back to chapter 1 in the book of Acts, there were 120 people gathered in an upper room. Disciples of the Lord Jesus, followers of the Lord Jesus. And they were gathered in Jerusalem, 120 of them, and they prayed. And the Holy Spirit came. And they received power from on high, and they were bold, and they preached the gospel. And in chapter 2, 3,000 people were saved. And we now read in this verse, in verse 4, that the number of those who were saved were 5,000. So, after Peter's preaching here, another 2,000 had been saved. And there were now 5,000 men in Jerusalem who were saved, who were followers of the Lord Jesus. And that's just the men. There were women as well. And so we could estimate that there was now about 10,000 people or more perhaps, or maybe slightly less, we don't know, who were followers of the Lord Jesus, who were saved, who were Christians. And the message of the gospel is growing. But there was also fierce opposition. And in chapter 4 in the book of Acts, we see the beginning of the opposition to the gospel. The opposition that the Lord Jesus time and again reminded his disciples about. He said often to them that there would be opposition, that there would be persecution. And we see in chapter 4 in the book of Acts, this opposition starts. And as we go further into the book, and we'll look at that in coming weeks in the will of the Lord, we'll see the opposition and the persecution of the Christians intensify. Well, let's look at these people who opposed the message. And we have three sections in our reading today. The first one is the arrest of these two fishermen. The second one is the inquiry of the two fishermen. And then lastly, there was the warning and the release of Peter and John. So, Peter and John were arrested because there were those of the religious elite who were greatly annoyed, it says in verse 2, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And we see in these verses that the principal accusers of Peter and John were the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a group of Jews who were quite different from the Pharisees who we come across from time to time. But the Sadducees were the skeptics of the day. The Pharisees were very wedded to the word of God. They believed in the word of God. Now, of course, we know that the Pharisees had misunderstood the word of God. But the Sadducees, they were skeptics. And the Sadducees denied the resurrection. And they preferred the status quo. They belonged and they associated with the wealthy, and they were very loyal to the Romans. And as these two fishermen were preaching the resurrection in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, these Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection, and who were associating with the wealthy, and who liked status quo to be maintained, these men were greatly annoyed. Because Peter and John were doing and preaching that which they did not believe in. And besides, they were just two ordinary fishermen from Galilee preaching about Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth of all places. Nazareth was a despised town. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Was the saying. And so they were greatly annoyed, and they arrested Peter and John. And they were held in custody overnight because the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, they met in the morning. And so Peter and John were held overnight, and the next morning we read about the inquiry starting. It says in verse 5, on the next day the rulers and elders and scribes gathered in Jerusalem, and when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? They're referring to the miracle of the healing of the lame beggar. So the Sanhedrin, the religious Jewish council gathered, they consist of 70 men of high standing, of high reputation, plus the high priest, the ruling high priest of the day. We read of two high priests being there, Annas and Caiaphas. Caiaphas, I think, was the son-in-law of Annas, and there were also those present of the high priestly family. So there was a bit of a family affair, a bit of nepotism perhaps taking place here. But they brought these two fishermen into their midst, and they inquired of them. This is in front of the high priest. I wonder if Peter at this point cast his mind back to just a few weeks earlier. I don't know if you remember the story of Peter following the Lord Jesus from a distance, when the Lord Jesus was taken to the house of the high priest. And Peter was there, but he was at a distance. And as Peter was there observing, he was questioned three times, are you a follower of Jesus? And Peter three times denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus. This is just a few weeks earlier. And here is Peter again, possibly in the very same place, and certainly standing before the very same person, the high priest, who was also the high priest at the trial and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Well, what a difference in Peter. What a difference. In Luke 22, Peter was a coward. He denied the Lord Jesus. But here it says in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, and so on. And he speaks boldly, and he speaks confidently about the Lord Jesus. And he speaks uncompromising words. Uncompromising words. And there's so much we could say about this. But the focus that Peter has as he speaks is the Lord Jesus. It always was. And Peter is very uncompromising about this. And he is also very penetrating as he speaks to them. And he is not afraid of pointing a finger at them. And he says, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, here's the finger he points at them to begin with, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. He's standing before you healed. By this name, and Peter points to the Lord Jesus, and he's not afraid, he's not a coward, he speaks boldly, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. What a change in this man's life. And then he twists the knife I put a knife in, and then he twists it, and he says in verse 11, quoting Psalm 118, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. You know, a cornerstone was a massive rock that was the very foundation of a building, and it set the angle and was the solid foundation on which a house was built, on which the temple perhaps was built. And in the prophecy in Psalm 118, the prophecy is that the builders were rejecting that stone that God had made to be the cornerstone, the foundation. And Peter is saying here that they, the high priests, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, were the builders that had rejected the stone that God had chosen to be the cornerstone. They found no place for him in their religious system. The Messiah, the Son of God. There was no place for him in the inn, we remember at Christmas. There was no place for him in the religious system of the Sanhedrin, of the Sadducees, of the Pharisees, of the high priests. But God made him the cornerstone. He is the foundation of life with God. He is the solid foundation of faith. And then Peter finishes with this extraordinary statement, this fantastic verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And this is really the key verse for us today to remember and to take in. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is an extraordinary statement. And this really answers the question that I raised at the beginning. And the question that many people ask today. If I am sincere in my faith, does it really matter what I believe or in whom my faith is placed? After all, it's about sincerity. It's about believing sincerely. And how do we know what is right anyway? There are so many ways. There are so many religions. As long as we are sincere. Well, Peter makes a very unequivocal statement, a very clear statement here. And he says, there is salvation in no one else. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The word saved here is the same word that Peter used when he speaks about the man in verse 9, when he says, by what means this man has been healed, or by what means this man has been made well. He was speaking about the physical healing of the man in verse 9. Now Peter is speaking about spiritual healing, about being made well in your heart, being made right with God, being saved. And Peter is saying that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And this reminds me of the Christmas story. Because you remember that Joseph was told specifically, when Mary was pregnant and expecting a child, Joseph was told this: you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior. And that is why he came. He came to be the Savior. His name was Jesus. Now, to the Jews who are standing there, let's maybe just for a second just put ourselves in their shoes. They believed in the Old Testament. They believed in the Old Testament. And they believed in one God. They were monotheists. They believed that there was one God. And they knew the Old Testament. And they knew verses like this: I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. Isaiah 43, verse 11. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. Jehovah, God, said this. In Isaiah 45, we read these words: turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Now, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the high priests, they knew these words. They believed in a God who was one and who was the only Savior. And now Peter standing here before them, and he says, there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What is Peter implying here very clearly to these men? He is telling them that Jesus of Nazareth is God. Jesus of Nazareth is Jehovah. He is the Savior. And there is salvation in no one else. To these men, they could not understand it. And as we read on, they refused to understand. They refused to believe in the Lord Jesus. But this message that Peter was given here was very much the same as the Lord himself gave. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only Savior. And that was the clear message that Peter gave on this morning before the Sanhedrin. I know that in our society today, in our pluralistic, tolerant and inclusive, supposedly tolerant, but it depends what you believe, of course, that this really is bigoted and arrogant and intolerant to to say that the Lord Jesus is the only way. But that's the claim of the Lord Jesus himself. That was the claim of his followers. And today we present Jesus as the only way to God. And salvation is by faith in him. I was watching a documentary last night about a Russian vessel called Tarasov. It was sailing in Newfoundland, in Flemish Cap, in Canadian waters. And it was 37 years ago, 1982, February the 16th. And the vessel was in great danger. It was a very cold night. It was a stormy night. It was heavy seas. And the ship was listing. And there was a crew of 37 people. There was one vessel which heard a call on the VHF. A call for help. And it was a boat, a Faroese line boat. And my uncle, I think he was in his early 20s, was on that boat. With 25 other young men in their teens, many of them. And they went over to that Russian, they spotted the vessel on the radar. And they went over it was a dark night, it was a stormy night. And they offered to help. They offered to save them. And they would have saved them. But they refused because they were waiting for another Russian vessel to come. This was in the Cold War, during the Cold War in 82. And the Russians wouldn't be rescued by Westerners. And when the Russian vessel, other Russian vessel, eventually came, the boat had gone under and the men were all floating in the sea. And five of them were pulled out of the sea alive. 14 dead bodies were pulled out and were lying on the deck of this Faroese boat. They could have been saved. And they sincerely believed that there was another boat that would rescue them. But they refused to, and they refused to accept the only boat that could save them. And they refused. They sincerely believed they would be rescued, but 32 of them were lost. It's an illustration of this verse. There's no other name by which we must be saved. There is salvation in no one else. Only Christ can save. And the story finishes, and we haven't really got time to go through all that, but Peter and John were eventually released, but they were released with a warning that they were not to preach about the Lord Jesus anymore. But what do? They say, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. They didn't ask whether it is popular, whether it is safe. They said whether it is right before God. They were concerned with what is right, not with what was safe, what was popular. They were concerned about doing the right thing for God. And they were released with a threat not to preach about the Lord Jesus. But we are glad today that they did not listen to that threat, that they continued preaching salvation through Jesus and through Jesus alone. And that is the same message that we preach here today. Salvation in the Lord Jesus through faith in him. May God bless his word to us, shall we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the boldness of the early apostles and how they preached salvation in the Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for salvation. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for your grace towards us. And we pray for all of us here today, for all the children in Sunday school, that we might understand and see who the Lord Jesus really is and put our faith and trust in him. Bless us now, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.